Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church, God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Our text this morning comes from the Gospel of Dr. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14. And I invite you to turn in your Bible or one in the pew rack in front of you as I read Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. This is titled The Parable of the Pharisee and the Tax Collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and the studying of his word. Now, prior to the telling of this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Jesus had told his disciples a parable regarding the persistent widow. And the purpose of that parable was to show the disciples that they should always pray and not give up. And in that parable, the Lord taught the value of persevering in prayer. The lesson to be learned is God will bring justice for his chosen ones who pray to him night and day. Now, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which we shall review this morning, is linked to Jesus' parable about the persistent widow, persistent in prayer. Specifically, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector deals with our attitude as we pray. Without the proper spirit, we in our prayer, our perseverance in praying is for nothing. So it's just not the quantity of time we put into praying. We must do that. We must persevere, but we must also have the right spirit. Now, Jesus directed his parable specifically to those in the crowd who were self-assured and convinced of their own moral and ethical purity. They were so proud of their perceived, and notice we say perceived, and the perception was in their mind. They were so proud of their perceived moral standing before God. Consequently, they looked down their noses, as Sue referred to in the children's message, at most everyone else. They had an attitude that we would call today, what? Holier than thou. They had that holier than thou attitude. And Jesus begins the parable in our text stating that two men came to the temple. A Pharisee and a tax collector. Pharisees were a religious party or a religious sect of the Jewish faith. They were laymen who were very zealous about keeping the scriptures, the oral law, and the Jewish traditions pure. The Pharisees were the pious churchgoers of their time. They were at every Sunday school class, every worship service, every Bible study, every confidential luncheon, every meeting that was held at the church, the Pharisees were there. And they religiously sought to obey the law of God, the Mosaic law. And these men knew how to pray. In fact, they applied themselves to the art of prayer. Today, however, we've grown accustomed to thinking negatively of the Pharisees whenever the name is mentioned. However, the Pharisees were some of the most highly regarded members and respected persons in their communities. They were the deacons or elders, if you will, of the church of their day. They were perceived as the good guys, the best of the best of the Jewish citizenry. And on the other end of the spectrum, totally 180 degrees away, were the tax collectors. They were perceived as the worst of the Jewish citizenry, and maybe even lower than that, if possible. Tax collectors in the scriptures were Jews who worked for the ruling Roman authorities. And they were considered both extortionists and traitors. Extortionists because they often collected more taxes that were due and pocketed the difference. And traitors because they worked and served the occupying power of Rome. And, you know, we don't think about that a lot when we study the Bible, that the Israelites were an occupied people for most of the time of the New Testament. They were occupied by Rome. Rome's power literally went to the ends of the known earth at that time. So as we begin looking at the parable, we have to remember that the Pharisee is the good guy in the eyes of society at that time, and the tax collector is the bad guy. So the Pharisee stands up in the temple and he prays about himself. And let me paraphrase, please, his prayer. Lord, it's hard for me to be humble when so many around me are so evil and rotten compared to me. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like those people. You know, people who steal and cheat on their spouses or like that guy over there who works for Revenue Rome. Yes, Lord, I am one of the very few who does more than even your law requires. I give a tenth of all I possess, not just a tenth of my income. I fast twice a week, not just once a year like most other people. God, thank you. I am not like him. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his chest and cried out, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. And Jesus said the tax collector went home from the temple justified before God. In other words, his sins were forgiven. He received a right standing before God. He had become holy enough to be in God's presence. He received the blessing of which King David spoke in Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. The Pharisee went home after having made this eloquent prayer about himself, but he was not justified before God. He went home empty-handed, so to speak. Well, what was the difference in the two outcomes? Both of them prayed to God in the temple. The Pharisee was the good guy. The tax collector is the bad guy. So to find the answer, we must note the spirit with which each prayed. Because remember, this parable is about the spirit and attitude that we have when we pray. Let's first consider the Pharisee. He believed himself morally and religiously superior to others. He despised those whose spiritual caliber was perceived by him to be less than his own, and he praised himself and condemned his neighbor. He exalted his religious practices. The Pharisees, as we know, always were attacking Jesus' practices. Jesus, who was the Son of God, which they did not believe, they were always trying to trip him up on the Mosaic law, on the oral law, and on the traditions of the Jewish faith. The Pharisee trusted in his good deeds to make him acceptable to God. He said nothing about, "Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation," or "Thank you, Lord, that you sent Moses and Aaron and Abram." He talked about all the good things he had done. He acted as if God owed him something for being such a good person. He failed to see his sin, and therefore he saw no need for God. Although he was praying to God, if you break down his prayer, he was really just doing a resume of himself, of his good deeds, what a wonderful person he was. He measured himself against others rather than against God. He used the moral failings of others to lift himself up, to seem more important, to seem more righteous, to seem more holy than others. And he lacked a humble and repentant heart. Hesed, for this Pharisee was zealous for the faith and well versed in the scriptures, but he somehow overlooked passages like Isaiah 64:6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. He had forgotten verses like Proverbs 29. Who can say, "I have kept my heart pure? I am clean and without sin"? This man held himself out above all others, and particularly this dreaded tax collector. And I doubt many of us have prayed a prayer asking God to, or thanking God because we were not so evil like someone else. We were not a sinner like someone else. But I dare say that at some point in our life we have thought that. We have thought, "I'm glad." You know, we don't say too often, "But for the grace of God go I." We say, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like him. I haven't done this. I don't do this. I obey your teachings. I go to church. I go to Bible study. All about me, me, me." And we saw what it reward the Pharisee got for that type of prayer. Now let's observe the tax collector. Right away he recognized the gulf between himself and God. He recognized the holiness of God. Jesus in his parable said, "But the tax collector stood at a distance, would not even look to heaven. He was so ashamed and racked with guilt, but he beat his breast and cried out, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'" He recognized the sin in his life. He didn't hide it. He didn't deny it. He didn't claim he was better than anybody else. He didn't claim that he did more than anybody else to obey God's word and parade out all the good deeds that he perceived he had done. He recognized his need for the grace of God and he pleaded for it. He beat his chest and cried out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. James, in his gospel, teaches, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. God told the prophet Isaiah, I live in a high and holy place, but also with those who are contrite and lowly in spirit, to receive the spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. And remember Jesus' own words in this parable when he said, for everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So what does this parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee teach us regarding the spirit with which we ought to pray? What should the attitude of our heart be when we come before God to petition him? We need only look to God's word for guidance. It teaches us, one, to pray with a spirit of humility, recognizing we are sinners saved by grace and not by our own works. We are to pray knowing that it is a privilege to come before God. You know, we so often treat it as an obligation, you know, something we've got to do. I got to get up and do my Bible study. I got to pray before I go to bed. I got to read a quick devotion, you know, and say a quick prayer. We got to realize it's a privilege that God allows us to talk to him and that he will communicate with us. We must pray with the knowledge that God will turn away a prayer saturated with pride, selfishness, and with the defamation of others. But God will welcome a repentant prayer, a prayer which is honest about our spiritual state and our need for God's grace. And we might can fool others when we pray in a corporate meeting and pray out loud, and they, oh, what a wonderful prayer, a wonderful job. But God knows whether we are praying with pride, selfishness, or whether we are praying with about our need for God's grace. We are to pray knowing that it is to a holy God we speak. Holy meaning God will judge us. He is a righteous and holy God, and he will judge us. He will judge us on how we act towards others and how we communicate with him, the spirit with which we communicate. And we are to pray knowing that God will hear a plea for mercy and help and forgiveness no matter who we are and no matter what sin we have committed. So if you look at these two men and look at how they were perceived by society, the society in which they lived, probably those at the temple that heard the Pharisee, oh, what a great prayer, what a spiritual man he is. We're so glad that he's one of those who keep the law and keep the Jewish tradition pure. And the tax collector, they probably ignored him, number one, because he was in the shadows. He stood back. He didn't try to make a big deal out of it. He just said, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. So, as our prayer should be, the prayer of the tax collector. For he went home right before God, forgiven of his sins and accepted by him by the Lord. And if you would like to be accepted by the Lord, if you would like to be in the position that you can communicate Him, that you can have a repentant heart and can go to Him in the proper spirit and attitude of prayer, you need but accept His Son Jesus as your Savior. You need but to accept that gift of salvation that He offered over 2,000 years ago. And you can do that by just saying, Lord, I accept You as my Savior. I love You. Forgive me of my sins. And if you'd like to come and share that with us, we'd be delighted to pray with you and to rejoice with you in that decision. As we sing a hymn of invitation, number 305, I have decided to follow.